A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 503. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television. And this time we are continuing our discussion about The Borrowers from 2011. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we're looking at another version of Mary Norton's classic, The Borrowers. This is from BBC One at Christmas 2011. 90 minutes filled with adventures of the tiny people known as The Borrowers. And I'm going to say it certainly was intended as perfect family viewing for a Christmas audience. That's what they set out to make, and we'll talk about that as we go along.
Yeah, and the Clock family have been forced out of their cozy existence under the floorboards of Mrs. Driver's house, under a clock, of course, and they cannot stay at home because Professor Mildeye and his assistant are trying to capture them, and they are setting traps, and we get some daring escapes from various traps and plunges down pipes and drains and all sorts of action-filled stuff in here.
Indeed we do. Yes, it does get rather action-orientated in the second half of this, or even earlier that, in this production. And we also get, I suppose, you know, it's inevitable for a more contemporary version of The Borrowers, but we get this rather weird idea that science would, of course, want to study the borrowers, study them even so far as to dissecting them rather than befriending them. That seems to be one of the main differences in this version of the classic. And the mad science involved is, it seems, more interested in fame and recognition. Interestingly, not much of scientific morality being displayed by Professor Mildeye. Even when he realizes the borrowers are intelligent, communicating creatures, he still seems intent on studying them, trapping them, and ultimately dissecting them, which is a bit weird, Brian.
Yes, ethics do not seem to be a strong point, but
no.
This is a children's serial, and we have a villain, so that's what you end up with. There are also differences with why the borrowers are living on their own. And here we have a borrower's town, and the clocks are living quite separately and have avoided interaction with the others, which is a little different.
Yes, and there is a sort of reveal and understanding as to why the clocks live separately. Something has happened in the past, particularly with Pod Clock, that has made him somewhat of an exile from this wider community.
That's right. There was a falling out or an estrangement with him and a large chunk of the town, it seems. So going back to that original novel, Mary Norton created The Borrowers as a way of explaining why small objects from her home would go missing, which I think is a lovely way to explain that. And the 1952 novel is sometimes seen as a commentary or a reflection on rationing and post-war austerity when, you know, make do and mend was a common saying, an idea, and not losing anything was sort of important because of the rationing and the limited availability of so many things.
Yes, and I thought this might be less relevant in a 2011 production. As you say, Brian, if in 1952, if you lost a pencil or a button, you would probably spend some time looking for it, whereas now we'd probably just say, oh, I'll get another one. But actually, as I was writing that for our notes, I realized, of course, that in 2011, Britain was still in a period of what became known as austerity. This was a problem, of course, in North America as well. But post the sort of 2008, 2009 economic crash, Britain was in another period of austerity. So it's, in a way, I don't know if it was deliberate, but it seems interesting that another version of the borrowers popped up.
That is interesting. I don't know if there's a connection there, but it is sort of an interesting parallel.
And of course, the other thing is we've got an endless fascination with the idea of little people. Some of this, of course, is the child's eye view of the world, particularly for small children, seeing these giant adults, these giant human beings existing in a world that is made and designed for them, whereas they can't reach things, they can't see things on the same level. Some of that is reflected in the world of the borrowers and why this appeals to its audience. We've seen this, of course, play out in other popular culture. I think, I know it's not quite the same, but I think of the idea of Toy Story, the tiny toys having to interact with a larger, you know, the world of larger people. And of course, I always think of the American TV series Land of the Giants, which did this so dramatically back in the 60s.
Yeah, that was an Irwin Allen series and quite successful. There was also a Doctor Who serial called Planet of the Giants from 1964 that did the same type of thing.
Of course there was. I should have remembered that one as well. It's nearly always a winning concept, Brian.
Yeah, there's just some appeal to that it always seems to fit and to work.
It does. Okay, well, let's talk about how well it works in 2011 with this BBC One Christmas production of The Borrowers. Brian, what did you like about this film?
Yeah, so this is a fun one. I liked the sort of look and feel and the pace to it. This is a really sort of fast-moving, fun piece that has sort of, you know, it never loses its fun or its momentum.
Certainly fast-paced, gets through it in 90 minutes, whereas the previous version, of course, we watched, did it over 6 episodes, I think, of TV. So this one packs it in and gets off very quickly.
It really does, yeah.
The adaptation, the writing for this one, Brian, what did you make of that?
Well, it's definitely different. It's using it sort of for a different purpose, a different kind of show, but I think it worked reasonably well.
It's certainly intense stuff. They add in a fair bit of action movie stuff. It's almost Mission Impossible towards the end of the 90 minutes with a remote control plane and a remote control car, model planes, model cars with borrowers inside them, which is something new and exciting.
Yes, in The Borrowers, you always have sort of contraptions that they fashion out of things from the humans or use as they are that, you know, are taken from the humans. And those are always part of The Borrowers, but they seem to get more and more elaborate with each new version.
Yeah, certainly do. And in this one particularly. So, yeah, so we get some Mission Impossible stuff towards the end. We've got a pretty impressive cast here. Obviously, we're delighted to see Christopher Eccleston, Stephen Fry, Victoria Wood. What did you make of the performances, Brian?
I thought they were good. There was not enough time to sort of really, you know, do some more focusing on the characters. But I thought they were all solid and they did what they needed to. And people like Christopher Eccleston and Stephen Fry are always going to be watchable, and they certainly were in this.
Yes, they are watchable. They are fun. I think it would be fair to say they've all done better work elsewhere, Brian, than on this show.
Yeah, I think so. But to me, that sort of fits in with the style of this show that, you know, it does rattle through things so quickly that it's not a character show in this version.
No. I was a little bit disappointed that it seemed to underuse Victoria Wood, who's a, you know, as I say, a legend of British comedy and sadly no longer with us. I would have liked to have seen her given more to do. I thought, actually, that her moments with James, when she talks about his mom and how she misses her as well, that was quite touching and well done. And there's some similar moments between James and his dad, played by Sean Dooley, which I thought worked well. This idea that his family has suffered a bereavement and they're all dealing with it in their own way.
Yeah, I agree. There is some nice stuff with that.
Obviously, as we've said, it looks great. You've got the costumes, the props, the CGI. That all seems to go pretty well, I think.
Yeah, so I guess the big question for this is, was it too fast? Should they have had more time for this?
That's an interesting one because it's intended for a family audience on Boxing Day, probably sitting around on the sofa eating the strawberry creams from the Quality Street, which is a gag in this production. So imagine that 90 minutes is probably about right, but it does try to pack a lot into that 90 minutes.
It does. And yeah, I would have liked to have seen an extra maybe 10 or 15 minutes, not an extra half hour, but an extra 10 or 15 minutes just to add a few more of those character moments and to just elaborate on things a little bit more so it wasn't quite as much speeding through things.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe a little bit longer would have given us a bit more of, particularly perhaps Christopher Eccleston and Victoria Wood, given them a chance to shine a bit more. Was there anything else you had in the positives? I sense we're sort of drifting into the negatives of that this show, Brian.
There isn't a lot. I will say that all in all, I enjoyed this and I think it accomplished what it was trying to do.
Right. Right. I will just mention quickly, Cape Town Sunshine always makes me laugh for a show set in London, but that's fine. It's just a little thing that I notice and think, oh yeah, pretty sunny for London. It is perhaps, I don't know whether it added enough to the concept of the borrowers to make it stand out, Brian.
Okay.
I just thought that the sort of rapid acceleration, maybe this is a pacing and time issue, trying to squeeze it all into 90 minutes, but I'm not sure that it did enough to expand the world. I perhaps would have liked to spend a bit more time in Borrower's Town, which looked interesting and allowed for great sets and costumes and props, but they have to rush through that and on to the next action sequence, I'm afraid.
Yeah, there is, as you say, a lot that they're fitting into this, and that gives you pretty well all the beats of the story in quite a short runtime for a story like this. But yeah, it can feel like it's missing a bit, like it's a bit rushed at times.
Okay, anything else you wanted to add here in our comments about the goods and bads of The Borrowers from 2011?
What do you think of it being done as a Christmas seasonal thing?
Apart from the sunshine, I thought that all worked fine. I was quite happy with that. They knew when they were going to be putting this out. They added in all the Christmas stuff. There's Christmas decorations, Christmas music, the advent calendar, the jokes about the Quality Street chocolates. So actually, I was all right with that. I didn't mind it being sort of squeezed into a Christmas film. And it would be a good time to find its audience, I guess. What about you? What did you make of the Christmas stuff?
I thought it felt a little bit unnecessary, but I can see why they would do it in order to put it in that time slot on Boxing Day.
Yeah. You know, it's going out for that family audience on Boxing Day who are in and want something to watch together on the TV.
Yeah, it makes sense given the circumstance.
Yeah. So I guess we must be close to recommendations time. Is it your turn to go first?
I can go first this time. And I am going to recommend this. It's not a strong recommendation, but it's a fun take on The Borrowers. And usually I'm not the one talking about what releases are available and the costs while doing a recommendation. But in this case, in North America, that inexpensive DVD that has the two different versions of The Borrowers, and I found both of those fun. So that's an extra reason to get it. So yeah, this is a fun one. So I will give it a recommendation.
Okay, interesting. I thought The Borrowers from 2011 was fine. Just about fine, I'm afraid, Brian. I think it would be a fun one to sit down with a younger child and watch. perhaps unlike the last show that we discussed before, The Borrowers, where is very much for the older child audience or adult audience. This one might be fun with a younger child. I think they might still prefer the 1997 Hollywood film version of it. But it is a fiver. If you've got a young kid who needs, you know, something to sit down and watch with you, then yeah, give it a go. But it's only a cautious recommend from me here on British Invaders. I wasn't that impressed by it, I'm afraid, Brian.
Okay, very good. So, in summary, The Borrowers introduces us to these miniature people known as borrowers because they borrow or steal things from the humans, who they refer to as human beings, and they set up their own little dwellings out of these outsized objects that are much too big for them. And we are introduced to this family of Pod and Homily Clock with their daughter Arietti, and they come under threat and have to leave their home and have to go to this borrower's town and interact with other borrowers. And we also learn about this professor who is hunting borrowers for his own purposes and captures some of them in his lab where they have to be rescued. And we have a fast-paced adventure with these borrowers.
Interesting stuff. And if you agree or disagree with our takes, particularly if you want to tell me why this is a good version of The Borrowers, then do get in touch. Come by the socials and let us know.
Absolutely.
And do please come back and join us next time when we are going to be discussing an adaptation of Arthur Conan Doyle's classic The Lost World from the BBC in 2001. And really looking forward to talking about that one.
Yes, it should be interesting to talk about that one. Until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And you can search for British Invaders on Facebook and you will find our group there. You can also follow us on Threads and Instagram. We are British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, come by the socials, borrow it if you don't already own them, and let us know what you thought of The Borrowers from 2011. And please come by the Voice of Geeks Network, which you will find by browsing to vognetwork.com. The Voice of Geeks, British Invaders, is a proud member there. You'll find other shows, geek-related content, gaming, all sorts of stuff at vognetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England signing off and saying, I see tiny people.